This tape is produced and distributed by the Christian Biblical Church of God, Post Office Box 1442, Hollister, California, 95024-1442. For the Canadian office and offices overseas, listen at the end of the tape, please. Okay, now everyone can be forewarned. We will start the book of Hebrews here. Real quickly, I want to finish the series on circumcision wars. So this is circumcision wars number 5. We've been going through the book of Galatians, and I have not only passed out to you the translation of Galatians, which will be in the coming New Testament, but also I've given to you an interlinear of it. Now, Galatians is one of the most difficult to be understood epistles of the Apostle Paul. And that's why they had the circumcision wars. Now, let's come back here to 2 Peter, the third chapter. 2 Peter, the third chapter. And let's pick it up here in verse 15. This applies to Galatians more than anything else. And one of the real big tragedies about the book of Galatians is that not only do the Protestants misunderstand it because of their animosity, even hatred toward the laws and commandments of God, but also because of the problems in the translation from the King James, which came from the Greek. So that's why I've given you the Greek interlinear, because I want to show a couple of things to you out of there. Now, I realize that with an interlinear, it gives you the English and the Greek, which helps you to understand that even without very much knowledge in the Greek, at least you can pick up a few things like I'm going to show you today, which will help you understand the truth of it versus why the Protestants and, of course, the Catholic Center are not correct in it. Now, one of the tactics of Satan the devil is this. He will let you have everything that God wants you to have, but he will inspire a misunderstanding. Don't want you to think about that for a minute. So now if you have a misunderstanding or a misinterpretation, what has happened concerning truth? You have missed the mark. And if you have missed the mark, which is also one of the terms for sin in the Greek, hamartia is to miss the mark, then you do not have the understanding that you really need. So this is how we are able today to have the whole of the Bible and yet have more misunderstanding concerning it than ever before. Now, especially when you're dealing with carnal-minded men who do not have any concern for the law of God, because the carnal mind is hostile or an enemy of the law of God, is not subject to the law of God, and neither indeed can be. So this is what Peter wrote here in 2 Peter 3 and verse 15. On account that the long-suffering of our Lord is salvation, even as our beloved brother Paul also, according to the wisdom given unto him, has written unto you, as also in all his epistles, speaking in them of these things, in which are some things hard to be understood. Now, why are they hard to be understood? Number one, they're hard to be understood because of the way that Paul presented it, partly. And number two, because of the misinterpretations that people bring to it and the misconceptions that they add to it when they study it. Now, which they that are unlearned, meaning they don't know the scriptures. This also tells us that in order to understand the Apostle Paul, you have to have a certain level of learning or understanding, correct? Yes. They that are unlearned and unstable, that means that they are not secure in the faith. And what happens when you're not secure in the faith? You look for a way out, is that not true? Yes. Those who are unlearned and unstable rest, or that is twist, and that's the way I translated it in 2 Peter there, as they do the other scriptures unto their own destruction. So having the scriptures in your hand is no guarantee of anything but that you have it in your hand. And so unless the Bible is properly understood, unless there's a certain level of understanding, it's very hard to understand the epistles of Paul. Now notice what happens. Verse 17. You therefore, beloved, seeing you know these things before, beware lest you also, being led away with the error of the wicked, fall from your own steadfastness. So these misinterpretations can cause people to fall. And we've seen many of them fall because of misinterpretation, because of going back, trying to understand the scriptures according to those who do not believe in keeping law. Now, let's remember this. Let's rehearse just a couple of things here after verse 18. But grow in grace. And how do you grow in grace? You grow in grace through loving God, through keeping his commandments. And let's understand something here very important. As I pointed out during the Feast of Unleavened Bread in Ephesians, the second chapter, which is this. God is the one who calls us, and God is the one who justifies us from sin. God is the one who has given us the way to walk. We'll go there in just a minute. We'll just repeat it. It's worth repeating it, okay? But grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord Jesus, of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be glory both now and forever. Now, we have two things going here, actually three things, don't we? We have, number one, difficult scriptures can be twisted and turned, and that is in particularly in the age that we live in today, where everything is counted as an opinion. That's why talk shows are so popular. People can call and give their opinion. Once in a while, you get someone who has a few moral things, like Dr. Laura, and she nails some of her call-in individuals quite well. And I think she does well by saying that if you're not married, you're shacking up. And she particularly hits that. But anyway, so you have to understand the scriptures next, and you have to beware that you are not led away with the error of the wicked. Okay. Now, let's understand something about growing in grace. Let's just come quickly here to Ephesians 2, verses 8 through 10. And this is very necessary to repeat it. Okay. For by grace, that means God's goodness and mercy, and it is his gift, you are saved, and that is from your past sins, through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. Not of works. Now this means of works that you can do, because there are a lot of good works which people can do. And they think that with their good works, somehow the scales of judgment for eternal life will be balanced out. If you have more good works than bad work, St. Peter's going to say, come enter in. See, if you have more bad works and good works, then St. Peter's going to say, go to purgatory. And if you don't have any good works, he's going to tell you, go to hell. Well, none of those stories are true. But that's how people view it, you see. Not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, which is what? A work of grace, is it not? If God is working in your life with his Holy Spirit, is that not grace? Yes. Created, and as I pointed out, that salvation is creation, in Christ Jesus unto good works. Now, these good works, then, are the good works that God has given. See? Created unto good works, which God has before ordained that we should walk in them. Now then, let's take a contrary view to those who believed in no law. Question. Did God create us? Okay, everyone would have to answer yes to that. Okay. Question. Did God put laws in our bodies how we function? Yes. And we are very fragile. If you don't breathe in the next 15 minutes, we'll call the coroner. It's just that simple. See? Now, you can't get any more fragile than that. Or, if you haven't taken care of yourself, you could have a heart attack in 2 minutes and be dead right here. See? Whatever. See? He's also given us spiritual laws, hasn't he? Now, notice the key word given. What is a gift? A gift comes because of grace. Did any of the patriarchs earn the commandments of God? No, but they kept them, didn't they? Same way when God gave the commandments to the children of Israel. Those are the good works of God. So let's understand something here. There is no controversy between keeping the commandments of God and grace. They go hand in hand. That's why Paul says grace establishes law. That's what's important to understand. Therefore, the commandments, quite contrary to the misbelief of many people, actually are rooted in the grace of God. Now, for a lot of people, that they're going to have to think hard on that because they don't understand it. So therefore, in keeping the Sabbath and walking into good works of the Sabbath and the holy days and all the commandments of God, we are in his grace, walking in the good works which he has foreordained that we should keep them. And, as I pointed out many times, God has never asked us to do anything that is not good for us. Is there anything that you can think of that God has asked you to do which is not good for you? No. But men. Now let's come to Romans, the third chapter. But men like to come along and think that they can improve upon God's way because in their opinion or interpretation, they can make it better. Romans, the third chapter. Let's just pick it up right here in verse 1. What advantage then has the Jew, or what profit is there of circumcision? Much in every way, chiefly because unto them were committed the oracles of God. For what if some did not believe? And that's the whole history of the Old Testament, isn't it? A cycle of disbelief and rebellion, coupled with a revival to obedience and then to disbelief and rebellion. And all of the books of the Old Testament reflect that, especially with the children of Israel coming down through the judges and the kings and 1 and 2 Samuel and so forth. And of course, before the flood, it reflected the same thing. Even in the Church of God, when you understand about the seven churches in Revelation 2 and 3. You have the same thing. You start out, and then human nature takes over, and you get into problems and troubles, and then there has to be repentance and a revival. And so that's just the way it is with human beings. But when you look at other people's behavior, and you see that that behavior does not match the Bible, or that as it is here, if some disbelieve, now continuing verse 3, Romans 3, shall their unbelief make the faith of God without effect? In other words, because they don't believe, does that mean that God is not true or that God is not faithful? No. Verse 4, God forbid, which means in the Greek, may it never be. Yea, let God be true, and every man is a liar, as it is written, that you, God, may be justified in your sayings, and that you, God, might overcome when you, God, are judged by men. Now, that's what it is. Do men judge God? Yes. That's how they misinterpret all the scriptures of the Apostle Paul, because they come with a preconceived notion of that God's grace does not require commandment keeping or law keeping. Now, let's come to the book of Galatians here, and let's just review a little bit. Okay. Let's understand some things. Let's come back here to Galatians, the second chapter, and let's begin in verse 11. Well, we will also look at the interlinear as we go along, so go ahead and open it up there, because we will see that there are certain critical mistranslations by the King James translators. It doesn't mean that there is anything wrong with the Greek. There is nothing wrong whatsoever with the Greek. The problem is with the translation into the English. Now, verse 11. But when Peter came to Antioch, and Peter was what? He was one of the apostles to the circumcision. I withstood him to his face because he was to be condemned. Because before certain ones came from James, he was eating together with the Gentiles. However, when they came, he drew back and separated himself from the Gentiles, being afraid of those of the circumcision. Now let's understand something concerning this whole situation. Number one, we have seen time and again that Peter was very political, right? And even after Jesus asked him three times, "Do you love me?" when Jesus said, "Feed my sheep," three times, Peter turned around and immediately said, "What's going to happen to him?" pointing to John. There's a weakness right there all the way through of politicizing, see? And Jesus said, it really doesn't matter what's going to happen to him. You're going to be led around when you get old where you don't want to go. But what is it to you if I say that he should remain until I come? You go do as I told you. Now, Peter, when he is good, like a lot of people, they're very good. I mean, you can look at what happened there in the first part of the book of Acts. But now here we are, a little later on, down in Antioch is where this took place, which has a combination of Jews and Gentiles. And he separated himself from the Gentiles, being afraid of those of the circumcision. Now, remember, as we have covered, you can go back and review it, which is this. We are not dealing with a commandment of God or a law of God at all in this situation, period. There is no law in all of the scriptures which say, if thou art a Jew, thou mayest not eat with Gentiles. Okay? Not even in the Old Testament. That is a creation of the Jews through the code of Jewish law, as we have seen, so that they are justified in what they do by that law. God never gave it. So that's why he talks so strongly here. Verse 13. And the rest of the Jews also played the hypocrite with him. Hypocrite is what? Having a double standard. Is that not what God called the Pharisees? Hypocritical. You do one thing, you say another thing. Insomuch that even Barnabas was carried away with their hypocrisy. But when I saw they walked not uprightly according to the truth of the gospel, I said to Peter in the presence of them all. So this is a very serious situation here. Now notice, if you being a Jew are living like the Gentiles and not according to Judaism, that's what it should read. And you look in the interlinear, and you will see that's exactly what it says. Why do you compel the nations, or that is the Gentiles, to Judaize? It has nothing to do with the commandments of God. Most people do not understand that Judaism is a separate pagan religion of the Jews, contrived of their own traditions, not much different than Catholicism. Just take away the idols and take away Sunday keeping, and you have Judaism. That's all. It's really no different, see. Now, let's go on, and we'll see some things. This is important to understand. That's why he was to be corrected. He was not to be corrected for keeping the commandments of God, because there is no correction in keeping the commandments of God that anyone should give to anyone, correct? Yes. But if you are breaking the commandments of God, which is hypocrisy, claiming that you are doing good to God by this action, you are a hypocrite. And that's exactly what it took place here. Now let's continue on. Verse 15. We who are Jews by nature and not sinners of the Gentiles. Now here is the key. Verse 16. Now, let me read it into King James, Galatians 2 and verse 16. And here's where the difficulty comes. Verse 16, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law. Now, if you will look in the interlinear, please, take that and look at it. Verse 16, we will see that there are no definite articles for works and for law. Let's read it in the interlinear. Notice, now follow the numbering there, that a man is not justified by works of law. This can refer to two things. One, any of the commandments of the Old Testament for temple justification via animal sacrifices, or any traditional law that Judaism created in their paganized religion to make themselves justified. None of those justify you before God. Important information to understand. Even if, which it's not, they were talking about the laws contained in the book of Moses, Let's come to Acts 13 and understand something here, very important. Acts 13 and verse 38. All the sins that were justified and forgiven under the old covenant at the temple, with the exception of those that God intervened and called, like David and the prophets, their sins were only forgiven to the temple. That's all. They had forgiveness in the flesh. Now then, the justification that the New Testament brings is the true justification in heaven above, and it's a totally different thing. Under the law of Moses or in the old covenant, if they sinned, you can read in Leviticus 1 through 6 all the different offerings they had to bring. But those never brought justification to God the Father in heaven above, only to the temple. So let's look at it this way. Suppose you were to take a trip to New York City, and that was the ultimate goal. But you ended up in Chicago and thought you were in New York City. Were you in New York City or Chicago? Okay. Same way with the sacrifices. The sacrifices never went beyond the temple on earth to God the Father in heaven above. The justification under the old covenant and through Judaism was all a physical justification in the flesh. The justification we have is before God the Father in heaven above. So therefore, the means and methods of justification by law cannot accomplish what the sacrifice of Jesus Christ can do. Because if it's by law, then Christ died in vain. Now, if you understand that, you're going to understand the rest of the book of Galatians, because this is the most difficult section right here and in chapter 3. So that's why I'm going to review it, so that everyone understands it thoroughly. Now, Acts 13 and verse 38. Paul was preaching to the Jews in the synagogue. And after he told them about Christ and the resurrection of Christ, he said this: "Be it known unto you, therefore, men and brethren, that through this man, Jesus Christ, is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins, and by him," that is Christ, "all that believe in the sacrifice of Christ, his death and resurrection, are justified from all things." So you're to believe. That is a spiritual work. To do an external work of sacrificing an animal or separating yourself from Gentiles has no belief required. And it eliminates Jesus Christ, because you are trying to do something which only the sacrifice of Christ can accomplish. Now notice, "And by him all that believe are justified from all things from which you could not be justified by the law of Moses." So either way, be it a sacrifice from the law of Moses, or be it a work of Judaism, it cannot accomplish what the sacrifice of Christ can do. Let me draw another analogy as we turn back to Galatians, the second chapter here. Now, let's just suppose this. Let's suppose that you said, I am going to go to the moon. And you bought yourself the most powerful 747 you could buy. And you said, I'm flying to the moon. You won't get there, will you? 747 is not designed to go to the moon, is it? No. How do you get to the moon? Well, with today's technology, you must have a rocket. Is that completely different than a 747? Well, the next time you see one of the shuttles take off with all the blasting that it has, you know it's entirely different than a 747. So in the same way, you cannot take the physical things of a physical act that you do, whether animal sacrifice or separation from Gentiles or hand washing or special hats or special curls or special phylacteries or special prayer shawls and expect those things to accomplish the spiritual belief of believing in Jesus Christ. It won't work. And this is what Paul is talking about. Therefore, it should be translated in verse 16. Let's read this again. Knowing that a man is not justified by works of law, because law cannot substitute for the sacrifice of Christ. But through the faith of Jesus Christ, even we have believed in Christ Jesus in order that we might be justified by the faith of Christ and not by works of law. Because by works of law shall no flesh be justified, because works of law cannot do what the sacrifice of Christ does, any more than a 747 can fly to the moon. Cannot be done. Now notice in there the whole thing. Let's read it in the interlinear. You are going to see, and it's a very important thing to understand in the Greek, when the definite article is not there, it should not be put in there unless you italicize it to make sure that you note you have added it. Now, what does it do in this case when the definite article is there? It makes you think that it's talking about all the commandments of God. That's why this simple little mistranslation has misled so many people. Now let's read it in the interlinear. Knowing that a man is not justified by works of law. You see, there's no definite article for the works. See? But through faith of Christ Jesus, also we on Christ Jesus believed that we might be justified by faith of Christ and not by works of law, because shall not be justified by works of law any flesh. And when I first understood that, I said, hey, that really opened my mind. Okay? Because when you have a definite article, now we're going to see in other places, Paul uses the definite article, and when he does, it refers to the covenant given to Israel. That's why it's so hard to understand Galatians. It may be one word, but one word means a whole lot. Now let's understand what justification means. Okay? Justification means that your sins have been forgiven, and you have been justified from them and put in right standing with God. Okay? Now then, what we are talking about here is the operation of these things as it pertains to those who have been called unto salvation. Okay. Today we have people in the world who believe in Jesus in their own way, and what if they repent and ask forgiveness? Will their sins be forgiven? Yes, in the same way that it was under the old covenant, since they do not have the Holy Spirit. See? Only those who have been called, have accepted the call, who have repented and have been baptized and received the laying on of hands, having the Holy Spirit, have entrance into the Holy of Holies in heaven above by prayer. Now, God is not going to neglect those people who, in lack of knowledge, but in their own sincerity, pray and ask for forgiveness. He will grant them forgiveness, but not unto salvation, unless that repentance is unto salvation. See, there are a lot of people who pray and ask forgiveness for something they have done because they're ashamed of what they have done, but that is not repentance unto salvation. Okay, let's continue on here, and we will see how much clearer this will be then. Okay, remember, last sentence in verse 16, because by works of law shall no flesh be justified. No law can forgive any sin, period. Only repentance and the accepting of the sacrifice of Christ can you have sin forgiven and be justified. Now, verse 17. Now then, Paul writes, if we are seeking to be justified in Christ, and we ourselves are found to be sinners, is then Christ the minister of sin? God forbid, or may it never be. For if I build again those things that I destroyed, I am making myself a transgressor. Now, what did he destroy? What was Peter building again? Judaism. Judaism. Yes. Come to chapter 1 here. Okay. Chapter 1 and verse 13. This also tells us very clearly that if you rebuild on Judaism, you are sinning. All of those who are being Judaized out there in wherever you are, pay attention. You are making yourselves sinners. Because Judaism has nothing to do with Christianity. Now, if you do not have the series Scripturalism versus Judaism, write in for it, and you will then clearly understand it. Chapter 1, Book of Galatians, verse 13. You have heard of my former conduct when I was in Judaism. Now, the King James says the Jews' religion. King James says Jews' religion. How I was exceedingly persecuting the church of God and was destroying it. And I was advancing in Judaism far beyond many of my contemporaries in my own nation, being more abundantly zealous of the traditions of my fathers. Now, let's come to chapter 2 and we'll ask the question again. The separation between Jews and Gentiles was what? Not a law of God. It was a tradition of Judaism. So therefore, what Paul was doing in Galatians 2, well, let's go back there. not Paul. Paul was correcting Peter. So what Peter was doing was building again the things that he destroyed. Now, how do you destroy those things? By repentance. When you repent of sin, what do? You leave it. You forsake it. You go away from it. You don't go back to it. See? These traditions constitute sin. So let's come back here to verse 17 again. Now then, if we are seeking to be justified in Christ, and we ourselves are found to be sinners, is Christ then the minister of sin? May it never be. Verse 18. For if I build again the things that I destroyed. Now here's what he's saying. Judaism and their religion is sin. Now why is it sin? Because it's not of God. So that applies to any other religion. Any other religion, if you're attempting to find salvation in it, you are making yourself a transgressor because you are not doing what God has said. You're not believing in Christ. Now, let's read in the interlinear verse 19 so we can again understand there is no definite article with law. Verse 19, for I, through law, to law died. Now that is a very difficult phrase, isn't it? Now, what does this mean? First of all, let's notice that in either case, either one of the two words law have no definite article. Now, how did he die to law? Most people misinterpret that and say, you don't have to keep any laws. That's not what it's saying. There's where the misinterpretation comes from, see. Okay. I, through law, to law died. Now, if Paul died, how could he write this epistle? Have you ever received a letter from a corpse? No. You know, you could almost read it. Here I am lying in this cold grave down here, and I just wanted to tell you I really miss you. So I'm sending this letter. There's a special little slot that I can put it up there, and the postman will take it. No. How did he die? Through baptism. See? The wages of sin is death. So when you're baptized into the death of Jesus Christ, you're co-joined in that death, and you of yourself now died. But to be raised up out of the watery grave, to walk in newness of life according to the ways of God led by the Holy Spirit. So that's how he died, see? That to God I may live. Now, as we have seen, if you're going to live unto God, you're going to walk in the good works which he has foreordained that we should walk in them. Not in any way of a man. Not in any of the animal sacrifices under the old covenant. See, now Catholics would have you do this. Father, I have sinned. I was talking to a woman who was a Catholic, and she said that this little girl, she went in to confess her sins, and the only thing she could think of was that I got mad at the teacher. So he says, go do 25 Hail Marys and 25 Our Fathers, and your sins are forgiven. Okay. That is a work of law. When you repent of your sins to Christ, accept the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, your sins are forgiven. But you're not to get up off your knees and go live in sin. See? No. Let's continue on here, because he explains it very clearly.